All right, we have been looking through and reading through the book of John. And so I invite you to turn to John chapter 17 with me as we continue on the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So, chapter 17. You can follow with me, or you can also slide over. It's up on screen, and I've got some stuff there that goes along with the word. But let's go ahead and just start reading. When Jesus had spoken these words. Okay, so what are these words referencing? Well, so this is that, not just that sneaky teacher tactic, but you go, all right, what are these words referencing? Well, we said that there's a thesis statement for John 13 through 17, and that was found right at the beginning of 13, now before the Feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so these four chapters have all been under this. And as we continued on in 13:34, we saw a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And why? By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And we said, yep, love one another. With Jesus' example of the past 3 years. So this is summarizing all of that. Love one another. And then in 14, we saw how Jesus talked about my peace I give to you. Not the world's peace, but my peace. And then in 15, abide in my love. And why? That my joy, Jesus' joy, might be in you. And that your joy would be full. And so it was Jesus' peace, Jesus' love, and Jesus' joy that we've seen. And then in 16, he continues on. I've said these things to you. And he was encouraging them about, you know, the fact that he was about to leave and his hour had come. This whole time. And he reminded them, I've overcome. I've conquered the world. And we know the peace that Jesus brings, we can have confidence in it because he's already won. And he was speaking to us, speaking to the disciples, because he knew his time had already come. So with all those things in mind, 17:1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So many things in there. We're going to just touch on a few of them. So that's, we just recapped some of what these words had spoken. And just physically, we've already had the Last Supper. Judas had already left. He's already said, okay, get up, let us go from here. He's given an illustration of the vine. John doesn't specify where he's at right now, but he's praying. And you notice in your Bible, this is often called the priestly prayer. This is in John's gospel, Jesus' last recorded prayer. And so we're going to take a look at just some of the details. So when he had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify your Son. So his focus right now, his petition to God is glorify your Son. And why? That the Son may glorify you. We've pointed out constantly how John has just continually said Jesus and God are together. He's only doing what God's told him. And now here he's saying, you know, he's praying, glorify your Son. Why? That he can glorify God, glorify the Father. Since you've given him authority over all flesh. So what's all flesh referencing?
All humanity.
All the world. It's a common reference to the whole world. So he's given him authority over all flesh. For what? To give eternal life. How's he going to glorify God? To give eternal life. To all whom you have given me. Yes, the offer is there for the entire world, but John's already talked about this repeatedly, and to give eternal life to all whom you have given me. And who is that? God knows. All those that will be saved. We don't know, but it's a smaller subset of the world, right? And it's to all that God has given Jesus. The who. Who's he going to give eternal life to? And he goes on to spell it out, right? To give eternal life. So, eternal life. We focus, lots of times we hear eternal life, and we're thinking, right, about, we hear eternal life and we think everlasting life, right? And that's true, but what's the eternal life that Jesus is focused on here? What does it say? This is eternal life, what? What does it say? That they know you. That they know God. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So that knowing the true God, that's eternal life. And it's not just the head knowledge, right? The whole book of John has been spelling out the eternal life. And it really is the true knowledge of God and Jesus, and it entails the fellowship, the trust, the personal relationship, the faith. But so many times I don't know about you, but I hear eternal life and I think, yeah, okay, eternal life, I'm good. Well, I think of everlasting life, but wait, what is everlasting? What is eternal life? Well, to be in the presence of God, to know God, to truly understand God, to know Him. Absolutely. That we would be in God's presence. Bob?
Well, you just said what I was going to say, in God's presence. Eternal life is knowing God and being with Him. And you can have everlasting life away from God's presence, and that is your punishment for non-believing. You're separated from Him eternally. I mean, for everlasting.
Yes, and eternally. So, yeah. Everyone unfortunately gets
everlasting life.
Everlasting life, as, but not in the way that, they're thinking about it.
Either with or without.
Are we with God? Are we with God? Or are we separated from God's presence, not to know Him? So, let's continue on. I glorified you on earth. Jesus is speaking. He's praying to the Father. But the disciples are there. They can hear Him. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. So, Jesus is looking forward to that glory that's coming. And certainly, is Jesus just a created being, just a God, small g? Even here, he says, hey, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world ever was around. We'll continue on. 6. I manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I manifested your name to the people, again, whom you gave me out of the world. Those, the chosen. The ones that, who picked?
The Father.
The Father. Not even Jesus, but the Father. Now, it says that yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They've kept your word. So are the disciples perfect and holy and awesome and have they kept your word? That they have kept your word. So, Ron?
What we had just read in service, as for that in the good soil, they are those who hear the word, hold it fast, in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience.
Mm-hmm. And that's from Luke. Absolutely. So they've kept your word. So the comparison isn't really whether they're perfect disciples and comparing whether they're in their pre-resurrection knowledge compared to post-resurrection knowledge or that, but it really is the comparison between his disciples and those that the Father has chosen and the world, right? He's chosen them out of the world. And really, these are the same guys. John has reminded us when everybody else turned away, when there was hard doctrine, right? In John 6, it says that all the rest of them turned away, and he asked the disciples, well, you going to leave me too? And they said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And Jesus says of them, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me. So, here's a time when, the term words. Sometimes word has referenced a specific teaching, sometimes it's been the whole teaching, And now we translate here words, and it's like, okay, so, but this is a different Greek word that's used here, and it actually, yep, rometa, or something like that. It's actually the specific words, the utterances. And so in this context, Jesus is saying, I've given them the words that you gave me. Well, it's not just the general principles or the concepts. Here, the word that was used there in the Greek is Jesus saying, God, I shared with the disciples the specific words that you gave, that God gave Jesus. So Jesus wasn't speaking, and we hear that in other places, you know, Jesus wasn't speaking of his own. Well, in this particular verse in prayer, he's saying, hey, I said the words that you gave me to give to them, even the specific words that you gave me. And I've given them exactly what you told me, God, and they have received them. And what have they come to know? They have come to know in truth that I came from you and that they have believed that you sent me. So they know with full certainty. What do they know? What does it say? That I came from you and they believe that you sent me. Clearly in the rest of the book of John, there were plenty of things that they didn't get, right? And John shared that with us a whole bunch of times. And they've said, I don't get it. Oh, wait, now you're speaking clearly. Well, the one thing that they absolutely know right now is that Jesus is from God. And his words, that they believe that he came from God. And they're going to have greater understanding when? After the resurrection, when they get what Jesus promised them, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that advocate that's going to help them remember all these things. But right now, God, they know that I came from you, that you sent me, and Jesus is confident of that. So then he says, I'm praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Jesus certainly speaking as if the next couple days are already done. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. He started out earlier praying, Father, and here he says, Holy Father. Combining holy, right? Separated, set apart. Combining that transcendence with the term Father. So the transcendence with the familiar intimacy, he's praying. Keep them in your name. In your name. In the catchphrase, what does keep them in your name mean? Any thoughts? All right, well then I'll tell you. Keep them in your name. We've mentioned before that like Jesus has said to pray in his name. And in full adherence to the character of God. Not simply on your own. And when the disciples, when he told them to pray in his name, it wasn't just okay, there's the magic spice that we can pray whatever, and as long as we throw in a, okay, in Jesus' name, we're good. No, and here Jesus is saying, I've kept them in your name, in full adherence to your character, which you have given me. And what does he pray? Holy Father, that they may be one. That's the first and foremost thing that Jesus' last prayer, that they may be one. Jesus prays that their unity is what he's focused on, and it's the purpose of their being kept. And just as Jesus and God are one and in unity, he's praying, keep them so that they will have unity. Verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves, completed in themselves. The purpose. But now I'm coming to you that these things I speak in the world, but that they might have my joy completed in them. Jesus' purpose of the disciples remaining in the Father's love and obedient to the Father and all allegiance to Jesus' word, that the disciples share, that they may have my joy fulfilled, completed in them. That Jesus even thinking about his disciples at this time, and then focused on their unity and that their joy be fulfilled. It's incredible. Verse 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Definitely strikes me in that section, right? He's praying for the disciples. Don't take them out, but that you keep them from the evil one. Why does Jesus pray that?
So we can't.
Because they're still in the world.
Because they're still in the world.
It's Satan's domain.
It is Satan's domain, but here's these chosen. And he is praying specifically right here for who? He's praying specifically right here for the disciples. And Jesus is leaving. He's gonna pray for an expanded audience. But right here, he's specifying, you know what? I'm leaving. Protect them.
I'm reading a book on the disciples currently, and the part of the book I'm in is talking about Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan has wished to sift you. And I have prayed, you know, to keep you you know, your faith strong, this and that. And after he has done this, come back and strengthen your brethren. So there's a period of buffeting that he was going to be going through. And in that process, we are as a witness and a strengthening to those that are seeking. And this is before all that. I mean, this didn't happen yet. There's a parallel with that. Yeah.
Well, here he's praying. He's praying for the disciples. He doesn't want them withdrawn because, okay, all of those that God has chosen haven't come to know him yet. And the disciples have a purpose, right?
Yep.
Let's continue on. 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself that they also might be sanctified in the truth. And here we see sanctify, consecrate, and sanctify, that they may be sanctified in the truth. And that word, that sanctify, consecrate, and the second sanctify, it all comes from the word grouping in the base word from holy, and what is sanctify, right? But to set apart for a holy use, for holy duty. And so set them apart, sanctify them, they're set apart for a sacred use. And he was praying right there that they be sanctified in the truth. And he spells out, your word is truth, God. Your word is truth, and I've been sharing with them, and they understand that the words that I've come from you. And now here in 20, I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. I don't ask for these only, but for all those who believe in me through their word. All of us ultimately have come from the disciples' words. And Jesus now here prays for himself, sort of. Glorify me, God, that I can glorify you. And then he prays for his disciples and focuses on their unity and their joy. And now he's opening it up and he's praying for all those future followers. And what does he pray? That they also may be in us. That they may be in us. And just as, Father, you and I are one, and the disciples. So, the purpose of our unity is not only to tell of the love between God and Jesus, but to further to show what Christians have been caught up in is the same love that the Father has with the Son. That we actually get to be a part of that love, the same love that the Father has with the Son. We're a part of that love. We haven't. I encourage you to get back into this passage and read it. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world doesn't know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me might be in them, and I in them. I desire that they also know. And Jesus' request, O righteous Father, what Jesus started in the disciples, he prays will continue on in the believers. And what is that? That the love that God has for Jesus will become the love that we all display to the world by us sharing our love for one another and sharing with the world that they can see that little taste of the love between the Father and the Son. I've tried just to read through and whet your appetite just a little bit. Next week is going to be my last week. And no, we haven't finished John. We're actually going to skip ahead next week and hit the last chapter. So we're going to read that last chapter of John. Heavenly Father, help us to absolutely love your word and love one another and display it to the world that so desperately needs you, needs answers, and the fact that you let us in on the love between the Father and the Son. Thank you, God, for that you let us in on your love that we can then share with the world. Help us to do that. Help us to get into your word and let it just impact our lives and change us immediately. Amen.